If you've ever been in, around, or near Niagara Falls, there's two parts to Niagara Falls. One is the American side and one is the Canadian side. And we're going to put tariffs on the Canadian. But they're both magnificent. And people who have, it's the Niagara River, and people who get too close to the falls don't get to change their mind. And your sin, as much as the devil would make it stick to you, let me tell you, the fountain of the blood of Jesus is as powerful as the water is going over the Niagara Falls. It cannot stay under the flow of the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. There is no need for you to be ashamed or continue to feel guilty about your past. It is time to trust the Lord that the Niagara, that is the blood of Jesus, has worked on your behalf. That's why we sing how we do. All my sins have been washed away. Hallelujah. He'll do it for you. If you'll let Him, He'll do it for you. Please turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 11. It's where I ended up last week. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 11. This is the word of the Lord coming through Isaiah. And the Lord would say, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth." Never doubt, never question what comes out of God's mouth. It is powerful. And He continues to say, "It shall not return unto me void or empty." But what does it do? It shall accomplish that which I please. Not what you please, but what He pleases. It will accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. And there's no questions. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. God's word, as His heart is steel, it cannot be revoked. It cannot. That's why He wrote the Ten Commandments in rock. There's no eraser that can take it away. It's permanent. God's word is permanent. He sent His word and split the Red Sea upon the Israelites' behalf. And He sent His word again, and He caused that Red Sea to come and drowned the Egyptian army. He sent His word, and the walls, huge walls of Jericho, crashed into the ground. Not down to the ground, but into the ground. And then, God sent the best thing of all. He did not send a word, He sent the word. The living, breathing word of God. Hallelujah. Let me run you back. So shall my word be that goeth forth. Once it comes, emanates from the Father, and He sent the word. John chapter 1 is very clear who the word is. And the word was God, and the word is God, and the word was with God. Hallelujah. And He sent Him. He sent the word, His word, that He might walk and live and breathe among human beings. His word. Can you imagine living during the time when Jesus walked on this planet? He sent Him to be born of a virgin. That is, a woman who never knew a man, not just a young woman, but a pure woman. He sent Him to be born of that virgin. He sent the word to show people how to live a sinless life. We have an example, a model. He sent that word to die as the perfect Lamb of God and to shed His blood on the executioner's cross. for a great purpose, and that purpose is to save Jews. I'm not done. He did come to save Jews. He came to save Israelites. And He came to save Samaritans. And He died to save Assyrians. And He died to save Romans. And He died to save Babylonians. And He died to save the Greeks. And He died to save the Asians. And He died to save the Africans. He died to save the Armenians. And He died to save the Russians. And He died to save all the Europeans. And He died to save the Nordics. And He died for the Middle Eastern people. And He died to save the Americas, both the South and the North America. To give an opportunity for the generations of wicked people to become whole, clean, and perfect. The Word of God. Hallelujah. If I were you, and if I knew how bad a sinner you were, I'd be more excited. The same Word that died on that cross rose again. We'll soon celebrate it worldwide. Rose again from the dead. My friend, your faith hinges on whether you believe that Jesus was resurrected from the dead or not. That's what it all hinges on. Many people died on a cross. Criminals. That's how the Romans did it publicly. Many people died. But there's only one that rose from the dead to live forevermore. There's only one that predicted that He would do that several times, even though His buddies didn't believe it. But that Word, because you can't kill, hear me clearly, you can't kill the Word of God. That's why He conquered once and for all death, who had been imputed to mankind since the Garden of Eden. Death had entered in. But Jesus Christ, the Word of God, in one fell swoop, in one week, took care of everything that needed to be taken care of. He shed His blood so you'd have a covering, so that it could wash your sins away. He had conquered death so those that believe in Him never die. You can have your funeral if you want to, but they don't die. They go to be with Jesus. That's not just a little saying to make us feel better. It's literal. It's real. It actually happens. Those of your loved ones who have gone on before that have served Jesus, they're not in this deep sleep somewhere, in a grave or in a vial somewhere. No. They're with Jesus Christ today. He's going to bring them with Him when the trumpet sounds. So that those that believe in Jesus, the Word of God, would receive the great reward of eternal life. Eternal life does not start when you pass from this world. Eternal life starts when you're born again. So why should I worry? Why should I fear? Is there any of you people here today that have received the Lord as your Savior? You're serving Him? Are you here today? Has anybody here been saved to the uttermost? I'll pause to give you a bit time to respond. Has anybody here been saved to the uttermost? I'm not talking about a little pinky saved. I'm talking about everything from your head to the top of your head to the bottom of the toes. Have you been saved? Has anyone here had their sins obliterated under the powerful blood of Jesus at the mercy seat of the Father? God has never been fooled. Doesn't matter how fancy you dress up, look nice, wash your hair, shave your face. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. He knows what's on the inside. He knows whether you're real or whether you're not. He knows whether you're really serving Jesus or you're making it look like you're serving Jesus. He knows all of that stuff, friend. He knows every little tiny lie that you've ever said. He's every time that your thought processes were wrong and hatred built up in your heart. He knows it all. But what He also knows, for those that place their faith in Jesus Christ, that blood, that Niagara of blood at His mercy seat washes that stuff away. Has anybody here had their sins obliterated by the blood of Jesus? Has anybody here today, March 16th, 2025, been dug out of a mess that you made for yourself? When He reached down His hand for me, I was lost. I was crazy. I was in the depths of despair. I was in the gutter. But He reached down His hand for me and picked me. Has anybody here had that happen? When everybody else gave up on you. You see, teen challenges for people that everybody else has given up on. But Jesus hasn't. We give you Jesus. Mr. Drug Addict, we give you Jesus. Alcoholic, we give you Jesus. And Jesus does not let you live with your drugs. He doesn't let you live with your alcohol. He doesn't let you live with your nicotine. He doesn't let you live with that. He delivers you from that. The blood is powerful, my friend. The Spirit of God is powerful today. If anybody's here can say yes to any of those things I said, well, the next verse then is for you. Isaiah 55:12. For ye shall go out with joy. I said ye shall go out with joy. Doesn't matter if the price of gas goes up or down. Am I going out with joy? Because I'm saved. Saved. Hallelujah. I don't think we appreciate salvation enough. We spend too much time on this world and whether we're going to be success here and there. But honey, at the end of the day, when you lay your head down on the pillow, can you tell yourself, I'm saved. I've been saved by Jesus. I can go out with joy because I'm saved. Not only shall you go out with joy, but you will be led forth with peace. No matter the chaos surrounding me, I can have peace. Peace, wonderful peace. Coming down from the Father above. Hallelujah. The mountains, and as you walk, friends, listen to me. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing. The earth responds to the saved. That's too long a story. But I'm telling you, the earth around you will respond to your salvation. When the righteous walk, the earth knows that the righteous are walking. You think the earth is just an inanimate thing. It's old rocks and dirt and this and that. But listen, it's still the creation of God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It's a creation of God. And earth knows who the King is. And the earth will respond to those that are walking in the pathway of the King. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing. Have you ever heard a mountain sing? Hell yeah. I challenge you to go find one of these mountains. Now don't get lost. Go up into you need a bare rock mountain. And you begin to sing. And when you begin to sing, the mountain will begin to sing too. It'll come right back at you. Some people call it an echo, but the hills shall break forth before you in singing, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Woo! Hallelujah! The trees know when the righteous are walking by. I know you don't believe it. That's all right. But I know what I'm talking about. When you have the Word of God, every life comes by the Word of God. And so when I'm walking by an apple tree, it will clap its little branches because, listen, the righteous have come by our way. Hallelujah. It's that big. It's that big a deal for you to be righteous, my friend. Them trees get lots of sinners walking by. But they begin to rejoice when the righteous come by. It's for an everlasting sign. Excuse me. I've got to go to verse 13. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. I don't care how dark it is. I don't care if it feels like you're in a cave or in a valley. It doesn't matter. It's coming. Why? Because I serve the great King. I serve the Word of God. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. That means shall never end. An everlasting sign that shall never end. Hallelujah. I've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. Every devil in hell and those that are roaming the earth know that I am sealed. Every angel in heaven knows I'm sealed by the Holy Spirit of God, that I am set apart. I'm not like everybody else that isn't sealed. You're worried about the 666 and the mark of the beast. It's too late. I've already been spiritually tattooed on my forehead and the back of my right hand. I've already been sealed. Now I want you to jump to the New Testament, to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 is a tremendous chapter in your Bible. Paul declares to the Corinthians that I came to you not knowing anything, but Christ and Him crucified. Hallelujah. But a little further down in verse 9, 1 Corinthians 2, 9, it says, "For as it is written." You're going to have to stick with me today. "As it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him." The Word of God says this. The things which God... So what does it say? Your eye has not seen, your ear has not heard, it's not even come into your secret desires of your heart. The things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But I think we leave the Scripture too soon. Because that's just verse 9. It's not the end. Look at verse 10. "But God hath revealed them." Are you there? "But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit." God begins to unravel His goodness in your life by the Holy Spirit. The natural eye can't see it. The natural ear can't hear it. The natural heart can't imagine it. But the Holy Spirit can show you what God has for you. "For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man." The natural man. No, it doesn't work. But the Spirit of God. The point I'm driving to is this. We have the Word, and the Word is at the right hand of the Father, but the Word is still with us via the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit knows what the Father and Son are doing. We'll read it in a minute. Now, verse 12, "We have received not the spirit of the world." We don't want any part of the spirit of the world. What is the spirit of the world? What is the spirit of the world? It is the same spirit that approached Eve in the Garden of Eden. It is the spirit of the world. You need to know more. You need to be more. You need to be successful. You need to be driven on all of these things. It's the spirit of the world. That is not what we have not received, the spirit of the world. Not anymore. We've been saved. We've been born again. He's washed our sins away. He's given us a new mind. He's given us a new soul. He's given us a new spirit. We don't receive the spirit of the world. Listen, honey, when you get those little something takes place and the spirit bothers you in it. Shut it off. Turn around. Go the other way. Get away from it. Because He's warning you. This is the spirit of the world and that's not you. get out. But what we have received is the Spirit, which is of God. Semicolon. That we, are you there? That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Natural man can't see it, can't hear it, can't feel it. But when we are in the Spirit, we can know the things that are freely given us of God. What a marvelous thing. That's why we think bigger and better. Because His ways are higher, His thoughts are higher, but then we, are you with me? By the Holy Spirit, if we'll tap into that, we can have His ways and His thoughts acted out in our lives. And even better than your mother, the Lord has your best interest. More than your mama loves you and wants the best for you, your Lord and Savior has better things than what your mama hopes for you. That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Do you know what things are given to us? My Bible says in Revelation, and to those that will overcome, I will cause them to inherit all things. Flip back to John chapter 16. I know I'm flipping through, but John 16:13. What the point of today's message is, if we'll walk and talk and be filled with the Spirit, we can know everything that's going to happen. You don't need to see some demonic seance or a crystal ball or horoscope or anything like that. You don't need to pay attention. That's the spirit of the world. But the Spirit of God will set you up for everything in your life. He'll tell you ahead of time. You'll know exactly what's going on before it happens. You'll know. He'll warn you. He'll know when you'll know when it's your time to die. You'll know. They'll say, oh, the Lord, I'm out. Howbeit, John 16:13, howbeit when He, this is Jesus speaking, the Word, this is the Word speaking, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. How many know that the Spirit of truth has come? He's been with us ever since the day of Pentecost. Hallelujah. The Spirit of truth is come. He will guide you into most of the truth. He will guide you into 25% of the truth. He'll guide you into 5% of the truth. No, that would be the government. But the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. There is no truth outside the Spirit of God. Every hard and fast rule of physics has to come through the Lord God and by His Spirit. There's nothing in it. Oh, I believe in science. Well, then you better believe. If you believe in true science, you believe in the Lord God. And then you believe in the Holy Spirit, because He's the only one that can show you truth. He will guide you into all truth. Folk, when you need the truth, stop and ask the Holy Spirit. We don't have to be lawyers and interrogate everything and this and try to figure out the truth. What should I do? Should I go left or should I go right? Wait at the fork of the road. Ask the Holy Spirit. But if you're like, if you're living a half Christian life, if you're half of the world and half of the Spirit, it's hard to hear Him. Then we take a guess. And we go the wrong way and we say, where's God? Well, He was back at the fork of the road, but you were too busy doing all this stuff. Oh, and I'm not yelling at any of us. I am just saying, in 2025, we need to get back to listening to the Holy Ghost and what He is saying. I've said it before and I'll say it again. The reels on Facebook aren't true. They're making stuff up. So you'll click on them. And so they'll get another view. If they get enough views, they get paid for their views. And so they put ridiculous stuff on there to get you to click. Let me tell you, the news headlines, they're not true. They're from a certain perspective. They can't know the whole truth. But the headlines from heaven are always true. When the Spirit of God shows you something, stick with it. He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself. But whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. I've often said a Spirit-filled life is rarely surprised. Because you can feel things that are going. The Spirit begins to tell you what's going on and what's going to take place and what you should do in that. All these people... Now, you know, I've kind of been a sports guy most of my life. And I'm really saddened. I'm really saddened that most of our television and radio programs about sports is about betting. They've all turned into gambling shows. And you know the odds. And I haven't really figured out the new way. The way I understand 5-1. I understand that. But I don't understand 3,500. I don't understand what they're talking about. Plus, minus, upside down. I don't know. But it's like you've taken something that was fairly okay and you've turned it into something else. The spirit of the world. And guys, all gambling is predicting future. So gambling is. If you're gambling at cards, you're betting that next card will be to your advantage or to your opponent's disadvantage. If you're betting on football, you're betting on this, you're trying to predict the future. Listen, folks, and I'm telling you, don't use the Holy Ghost for gambling because it won't work. But if you need to see things that are ahead, let the Holy Ghost be your guide. He will show you in due time. If you're unsure, wait. It's not a complicated formula. If I'm going to go someplace and the Holy Spirit's trying to get to me, if I'll just wait a minute, but who, you and me, huh? You get frustrated when it takes 2.5 minutes to make your popcorn. Just wait. The Holy Spirit will show you. If you're walking in His pathways, His ways and thoughts. Verse 14, He shall glorify me. This is Jesus speaking. He shall glorify me. Don't ever tell me any word of prophecy. If it doesn't glorify Jesus, you're not right. The Holy Ghost always glorifies. People say, oh, you people talk too much about the Holy Spirit. Listen, you can't talk about the Holy Spirit without talking about Jesus. It's the 3-in-1. All right? The Holy Ghost will always present Jesus to you. He shall glorify me, for He shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. So all things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that He shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. I'm not advocating that you do this. But often in my prayer life, I say those words. I say, Holy Spirit, what are the Father and Son talking about today? And do I need to know whatever they're saying? You say, ooh, that's kind of brash. No, it's not. I have the privilege. You can. What's God saying? You're all so worried about what CBS or CNN or Fox has to say. How about what the Father's saying? Worry about the American economy? What's God saying? Just go to Him. Let's get it right from the one who made everything. That's why, Dale, you never have to be afraid. You never have to fear things. I got the Holy Ghost. Thank you very much. Us poor people don't worry too much about the stock market. Don't worry about the stock market. It's up, down, in between. It's going to do what it does, folks. But my security is not in the economy. My security is that I'm saved, saved, saved. My security is that the Holy Ghost will lead me down the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. That's my security. I might not have enough food to eat. I am still secure. If I don't have a roof over my head, I'm still secure in Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit will show you the Word of God
in each and every situation that you are in if you will allow Him. Now, how many times do we just go ahead, handle our own business? We'll leave the big things to the Lord, but let me handle this thing. And I don't know if anybody here has done that like me, but you go ahead and do it because you're a little impatient. You go ahead and do it, and you figure out when you get there, oops, this isn't what I was expecting. And how do I get out of this? Then you pray and say, Holy Spirit, can you show me the way out? All right, jump back. I know 1 Corinthians 2:13. If you jump back there, I'll finish up sometime. 1 Corinthians 2:13, we're going on. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. See, one of the devil's greatest tricks is to convince you that the spiritual realm doesn't exist. You can't see it. You can't taste it. And so it probably doesn't exist. And it's not true. It's as real, it's certainly as eternal as anything else. We go by what the Holy Ghost teaches. Not man's wisdom, but what the Holy... Get your wisdom from heaven, friends. Verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. That means my reasoning, my logic, will rebuff the things of the Spirit. For they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. If you're not born again, you can't get what we have. If you don't believe in Jesus, you can't get this wisdom from heaven. We can't get, and let me tell you, even after you're saved, your natural man still can't receive the things of the Spirit of God. They're spiritually done. It's in our spirit that is alive when Jesus comes in. And we have to learn to be more directed by the Spirit than our eyeballs and our ears. Because eyes can't see and ears can't hear. Neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love Him. We can't do it. It's in the natural. But in the spirit man, we know that all things are possible. Amen. For each and every one of us, we have to grant a spiritual mindset. We have to keep the natural man under the authority of the Spirit that dwells within us. To move in a Spirit-led life. And there's a lot of people that claim that. I'm not judging. I am just saying there's lots of people that claim that, but maybe not. Does anyone here desire to walk in the things of the Spirit of God? Does anyone here want to say, let's let Him tell me where to go? What job to have? When I'm supposed to go, let Him tell me when I'm supposed to go. Let Him tell me when I'm to speak and when I'm to be quiet. Let Him be the master. Tim, if you'd come. It was a typical late winter morning. And as was my practice, I got up before the rest of the household, and our living room faced the west, and there was nothing west but cow pastures and woods. And I went to sit down in my, what I call my prayer chair, and that was my purpose for being up, was to pray. And as I was standing there in front of the window and I backed up to sit down, as I was sitting down, a voice similar to what Ray heard in his ear, I heard, within a year you'll be in Arizona. I was born and raised in the land where I was currently living. My mother and father-in-law lived next door to us on their dairy farm. My brother and sister-in-law lived on the other side of us. We were in the middle. Deb and I were in the middle. And we had built a church there. God was blessing us. So when he said that, it was a very odd thing. I didn't know anybody in Arizona. Not sure I wanted to know anybody in Arizona. And I said, now, I don't know if you've ever said this to the Lord. I said, that can't be God. It's because his ways are higher than our ways. But I started out in the spirit. But by the time I sat down, I was already back to the natural man. I said, there's no way this can be God. And I sat there, and I don't know if you've ever been pestered or bothered by the Lord. You try to go through your prayers, and this thing is sitting in the back, spinning like a computer's buffering back here. It just kept spinning and spinning. And I tried to forget about it during the day, and the next morning I woke up, and all I could hear was, within a year you'll be in Arizona. I didn't know what to do with this. You know, the thing we fear is that we think it's our own imagination, and we can't discern whether it's the spirit or our own imagination. What you do in those cases is wait. Because your imagination is fickle, but the spirit of God is not. I waited a couple more days. Every morning I'd get up. Within a year, you'll be in Arizona. And I said, well, I guess we can go visit. The Lord said, no, I'm going to move you to Arizona. You know me. I was like, where are you going to get the money to do that, Father God? And I said, well, you don't know my wife. I thought Debbie was saved at the time. My wife's not going to leave her mother or her sister. And so I finally got the gumption up one night while we were going to bed. I go, Deb, I don't know what's going on. I think the Lord is telling me that we're going to move to Arizona. And I thought I was going to hear over my dead body, or you can go. I heard the strangest words. Oh, good. I've always wanted to live in Arizona. It's a surprise to me. I go, are you kidding me? No, my Uncle Jim was out there. Okay. So, I said, but I didn't know what to do. The Holy Spirit, He only gives you these nuggets. He doesn't give you the whole grand plan, right? You just got to walk in what the Spirit is saying. So I said, all right, now what do I do? And so you walk along for a week or so, and me and Deb's got a secret. We're trying to predict the reaction of this woman in the front seat here. I didn't have a problem predicting the reaction of my mother. I knew what it was, all right? My mom had a heart attack when we moved 30 minutes away. Anybody who leaves the clan, some of you are here. You left your clan back where you came from, traitor. And I said, Lord, maybe it was just me, Deb. I don't know. And so we went a while like that. We didn't dare tell anybody. We didn't tell the kids or anything. But the Spirit knows how. And someday I'm going to preach on the subject of personal prophecy. I'll preach on that sometime soon. But it was a Sunday night. Thank God for Sunday nights. And we had an evangelist in. His name was Sidney Foti, 6'3", 350 pounds. Don't often argue with a guy like that. But Deb and I were at the altar over on the side. It was after the service or during the altar time, and we were just seeking the Lord, because we had a secret. We thought the Lord was going to take us to Arizona. And so you could almost feel this guy, 6'3", 350 pounds.
He stood behind us like this. And he raised his hands like this. And he says, Pastor Scott, we hadn't told anybody. Pastor Scott, I see you in a dry place. It's so dry. There's big cracks in the ground. About that time, I gave the wife a little elbow. Then I heard, it's true. And he said, but I see in this dry places, you and your wife are weeping over the dryness of the land. And that your tears are filling in the cracks. And he says, I see he used the word an oasis. I see an oasis in the middle of this dry land. And in the middle of that dry, that oasis, I see an oak tree. And it grows so tall that you can hardly see the top of it. The Spirit, who knows all things, knows how to get the right people in the right place. I don't have time today. But I can tell you, my mother-in-law worked at a local hardware store. So we eventually told people. Was not received all that well. We didn't tell everybody, just our family, not my church. Oh my. Well, anyway. I think some of them were secretly happy, but that's another subject. But she's in the hardware store. And this guy from Phoenix walked in. Arizona. But he's an old friend. And my mother-in-law's father had hired this guy at one time to pick potatoes for him. And she said, well, my son-in-law's thinking that the Lord's calling him to Arizona. And this guy said, oh, really? He said, well, I go to Phoenix First Assembly of God. I have a beautiful house. Tell him he can come stay with me. In a hardware store. The Holy Spirit knows how to get things done in your life. We need to get in agreement with the Holy Spirit. There is nothing too fantastic for the Holy Ghost, all right? The plans that He has for your life, they're higher. His thoughts are better. We just have to get into agreement with Him and follow Him along. The reason we're here and you're here is because the Spirit has drawn us here. Hallelujah! God wants us here so that He can find a people that are Spirit-filled and Spirit-led and Spirit-thinking. My Bible says in 2025, it's still not by power and it's still not by might, but it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. You cannot win a city for Jesus Christ by power, and you can't win them by might, but you can win them by the Spirit of the living God. Oh, let us be a determined people here to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. To let His thoughts become our thoughts. Let His ways become our ways. And you will find there's a lot of talk about living your best life now. Well, your best life is living in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit. This morning you may be here. And you need the Holy Spirit to speak into your situation. Perhaps you're here this morning and your mind's full of doubt and your soul's kind of fearful or worried. You don't know what's going to happen this week, 2 weeks from now, this month. Maybe you don't have money for the rent at the end of the month. You don't know where it's coming from. Doesn't look like there's any source. But let me tell you, the Holy Spirit knows. And if you'll let Him lead you and guide you, if you'll refuse what the natural man has and say, Lord, I got to listen to the Holy Spirit. Maybe you're facing the doctor's diagnosis or prognosis. And it's been gripping you in your guts. Say,
man, I need the Spirit to speak. The Word of God. This morning, I'm going to open these altars up. If you need to come, would you come? And whatever it is you need from the Holy Spirit today, He is here. It's one thing if He's just in Jerusalem, but He's here. The Spirit of God is here. He is the great director into all truth. I want you to come. Find a place at this altar and say, Lord, I need to hear from You. I'm done working it on the natural man's side. I need to operate in the Spirit side of things. Hallelujah.